This is Jack. Good to be back with you today. Certainly desire your prayers as we endeavor to speak from God's Word there today, and praying that someone would be blessed to hear the Word and that it might in some way give them comfort and joy in their life. Our scripture today, our text, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, this scripture is in the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, the 30th through the 36th verse. The Word of God reads, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God." Jeremiah, he lived and prophesied during Judah's midnight hour. In 3 to 4 years, Judah would be no more. Spiritually, things were a disaster in Judah. Spiritually, this country is in the same shape. Jeremiah had seen the nation pass from the prosperous conditions during the time of Josiah to a state of utter corruption under the last four kings of the southern kingdom. Jeremiah's mission was to testify to a sinful and stubborn people who were both misled and uninterested in returning to the ways of God. God told Jeremiah in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine." Judah had no fear of God. Can you say honestly today that this country has a fear of God? "Now Judah, they belied the Lord and said evil. They said evil won't come upon us, neither will we see sword nor famine. God won't do anything to us." That was their attitude. That's the attitude of this people today in our day and time. God said in Isaiah 13 and 11, "And I will punish the world." Punish the world. You know, it rains on the just and the unjust. The Bible tells us that. But he says, "I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." God has given us no reason to believe that he won't do anything to us for our disobedience and sin. In fact, the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible gives us every reason to believe that he will. Now listen to me, and listen to me close. Think this is very important. Jeremiah was preaching to a nation that had God's word. This nation has God's word and was founded on God's word. It's founded on God's word. Now this nation has turned it into a lie, abandoning the one true and living God in the name of religion. You hear what I said? In the name of religion. Judah had strayed and turned God's word into lies. God sent Jeremiah to admonish Judah to return to God's word and walk in his ways. Jeremiah had told them in chapter 6 and verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein." Arrogant people, religiously arrogant. Is that not what you see today? They were God's children, but they refused to walk in His ways. They preferred to follow in the ways of the flesh. But by the time we get to today's text in chapter 23, God is sending Jeremiah to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is what I said, and that's the prophets, the preachers. These prophets had created a system of lies that they were feeding God's children. In verses 30 through 32 of today's text, God says, "Behold, I am against the prophets that use their tongues and say, He saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." Why is God against these preachers? Because they use their tongues to claim that God has said things He really didn't say. Because they speak lies that cause God's people to err. Then God says, "Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all." These prophets or preachers have not been called by God. He says, "I sent them not, nor commanded them." They won't be of any profit to these people because of their lies. These prophets had created their own religion, their own system of lies that they were preaching to God's people. Religion is a collection of cultural systems, belief systems, and worldviews that establishes symbols and relate humanity to spirituality and sometimes to moral codes. Religion is any specific system of belief about deity, often involving rituals, a code of ethics, and a philosophy of life. Religion is man-made and not necessarily based on truth. Religion may be a system of belief about a deity, but not necessarily the one true deity, and that is the God of the Bible, the one true and living God. Not all belief systems or philosophies of life are based on truth. This is the problem with our country today. It is full of religions that have hijacked biblical truth and turned it into the worship of man rather than the worship of God. State religions that worship another deity rather than Jesus Christ. Religions where a man has written his own Bible, claiming to be inspired by God. In this country today, it has a belief system, a philosophy of life that exalts man rather than God. These people have fallen for the same lies that the prophets told God's children in Jeremiah 23. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. God says the words of the preachers make you vain." What does that mean? Vain means excessively proud, is proud of, or concerned about one's own appearance, or qualities, or achievements. That's what preachers do today. They boost man's self-esteem. They build man up. They tell man, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to prosper. He wants to prosper you. God loves you. He won't bring evil upon you. These lying prophets were preaching to those who despise God. That's who they were preaching to the ones that despise God. Now, aren't preachers doing the same thing today, preaching to those who hate God and telling them all you have to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior and you won't go to hell, instead of preaching to God's children who can hear and understand? Preachers today are preaching to the unregenerate who can neither hear nor understand. Instead of comforting God's children or admonishing them for their sins, they are trying to do the impossible, and that is to fill heaven. Now, they preach to those who aren't God's children. They preach to those who hate God, and they try to convince them to love God. God said these prophets had perverted His words. In chapter 6, God says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, They were not all at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. These false prophets were promising people that they would have peace. God says there would be no peace for these people. They were committing abominations, yet they were not ashamed. They were not embarrassed. That seems to be the people today of our day and time. There is no peace in religion. People just don't seem to be able to be satisfied. They are always looking for something more. A child of God should be satisfied because of what Christ did on the cross. He finished the work on the cross. He bowed his head and he said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. You know, God says in Isaiah 53:11, I think about this so many times, and he's speaking of Jesus Christ. "He shall see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Now, if God can be satisfied with what Christ did on the cross, then why cannot God's people, why cannot those that Christ died for be satisfied? And they always want to add something to it, something more than what Jesus Christ did. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Now this is in John, the 14th chapter and the 27th verse, if you can go there sometimes. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, people, and I'm including God's children in that group, are looking to the things of the world for peace and satisfaction, but they won't find it. That's what I'm telling you. Preachers say God wants you to be happy. God wants to prosper you. And they look for that happiness and prosperity in this world, not in the truth. Paul tells us in Romans how God feels about such things. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And amen." You know, that's what most people are doing today. They're worshiping and serving the creature. That's the doctrine of most religion today. Let's look at the difference now in religion today and the truths proclaimed by God in his holy word. The Bible teaches that God is sovereign. Religion teaches that man is sovereign. The Bible says God can. Religion says God can't. Man can. The Bible proclaims the God of the Spirit. Religion proclaims the God of the flesh. James 1:27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." James is describing the true church, man serving his fellow man and keeping himself unspotted from the world. That isn't what organized churches teach today, or organized religion does not teach that today. They teach that the church is about getting God haters saved eternally. Now, Christ said he came to seek and to save those who are lost. I don't think it's the responsibility of man to seek out those and save those people that are lost. I think God sent Jesus Christ, and I think he is performing that perfectly. Now, religion today is about usurping. It's about usurping the authority of an almighty God in saving as many people as possible. Religion goes about doing this by appealing to man's intellect and his emotions. Religion reasons that man can make the ultimate decision that will put him in heaven or hell. Religion preaches a God who won't try to force man to do anything against his will. Religion tries to scare people into getting saved, getting themselves saved, by describing what a horrible place hell is. Here's what the Bible says on the subject of salvation. Now listen to me. Of a truth here today. Now, this has been John. If you don't believe this, and if you don't have time, you jot this scripture down and go there and look at it sometime. John, the first chapter, the 10th through the 13th verse. He was in the world, talking about Jesus Christ. Now, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Look carefully now at what John says here. Christ was in the world. He made the world, but the world didn't know him. He came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But as many of his own who did receive him, those are the ones he gave power to become the sons of God, even those who believe on his name. Preachers say here that Christ gave power to man to become a child of God if they just believe on his name. But that's not the complete context of what he says here. Now let's read on. The next line says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The child of God is not born of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Bible teaches that God's call to the new birth is effectual. Religion teaches that man can resist God's call. In Ezekiel 26, God tells us that he will do for his people what he's going to do for them. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. God changes the heart without man's permission. God puts his spirit in man without man's permission. God causes man to walk in his statutes without man's permission. We need to stop telling man that he is more powerful than God, that he can keep God from saving him, that he can resist God. You won't find this, I'm telling you today now, you won't find this doctrine anywhere in the Bible. In Isaiah 66 and 9, God says, shall I bring, now listen to this, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord. Now, this is Isaiah 66 and 9. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Man had no say-so in his physical birth. Not a single child born into this world has tried to crawl back into the womb rather than being born. God says, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Man cannot resist the drawing power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. God's will overrides man's will every time, every single time. Paul says in Romans 9:19-21, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor. God God has power over man, and man cannot resist the will of God. In Isaiah 48, God says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give, listen to this, I will not give my glory unto another." God will not give up his glory in choosing and redeeming a people in order for man to be able to boast in his salvation. Now let's look at what Jesus says in John, the 6th chapter, the 37th through the 39th verse. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Now Jesus says that all those God gave him will come to him. They will not be able to resist the will of God. Christ came to do his Father's will, and that will is for all that he gave Christ to be raised up at the last day. Christ went to the cross. He gave his life, shed his blood for a people God gave him, and he will give them eternal life, just like he says in his prayer to the Father in John 17 and verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Christ's death, his death redeemed a people, and all those he redeemed will be with him in glory. The Bible teaches that Christ redeemed a people. Religion teaches that Christ died to give everyone the opportunity to be redeemed, that salvation is an offer. Let's look at Jesus' own words in the Gospels and see if God meant for salvation to be an offer. In looking at Matthew's records in Jesus' ministry to the multitudes and his conflict with the Pharisees, and there was many of them, the religious leaders of his time, they were just like a lot of the religious leaders today. When the Pharisees accused Christ of casting out demons in the name of the devil, in Matthew 12, Jesus started teaching his followers in parables. In Matthew 13:10-11, the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Jesus' teachings were not intended for everyone. Now let's go to John 10, verse 24. "Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. If you just went back now to through the 9th chapter of John, you would have to laugh. Jesus made it so plain that he was the Christ. How could anyone have missed it? The Jews, you're saying, you haven't given us enough evidence to believe that you are the Messiah. We just can't believe it. Now look at verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He had healed the blind, made the lame to walk, cast out demons, raised the dead. What more did they want? Now so many people ignore verse 26 because they don't want to believe what it says. If you have your Bibles, read it along with me. But ye believe not, it says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now it does not say the opposite of that. Jesus speaks plainly here of the reason people do not believe. It isn't because they haven't heard a preacher. It isn't because someone hasn't witnessed to them. It is because they are not of his sheep. They have not been chosen. You know people just can't handle this thought. Hey, can't bear to think about it. Hey, call me a liar. Look at the next two verses in John 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, you go and check those scriptures now. That is gospel. That is in God's holy word. Jesus died for his sheep, not for everyone who has ever lived. If that were the case, there would be people in hell that Christ died for. On the cross, Christ redeemed his people, his sheep. He knows his sheep. They hear him when he speaks to them, and they follow him. He gives the sheep eternal life, not the goats. Now here's what is going to happen because of the lies that preachers have told. In John 8, the Pharisees were trying to convince Jesus that they were the children of Abraham and God was their father. Here's what Jesus said to them in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Now look in Matthew 7, starting with verse 21. These are the words of Jesus. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus is talking to religious people. They have prophesied in his name. They have cast out devils in his name. They have done many wonderful works in his name. But what does he tell them? "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity." And that leads us to the next difference between the Bible and religion. The Bible teaches that salvation is unconditional. Religion teaches that man has to meet conditions in order to be saved. These people in Matthew 7 who had done the works in his name can't believe it when he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." They thought that they knew him. They thought all their works would get them into heaven. That's what religion teaches man today. You can't go to heaven unless you accept Jesus. That's works. Anything you do, accept or believe or whatever, is by works. Jesus, you must accept him as your personal Savior. It's what is said. You can't go to heaven unless you open your heart and let Jesus in. Religion today teaches that man, that he must meet certain conditions in order to be saved eternally. The Bible teaches man's total depravity. Religion teaches that man is just a little sick and can heal himself by making a decision. Paul says in Colossians 2 and 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And in Ephesians 2 and 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." We are all dead in trespasses and sins because of Adam's fall. It is God who quickens the dead, brings them back to life. We are not sick people who need a preacher to preach to us. We are dead people. You know, preachers cannot bring dead people back to life. The Bible teaches that God's love is in Christ. Religion teaches that God loves everyone, even those in hell. Now, listen to me. Paul says in Romans 8 and 39 that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and only in Christ Jesus. God does not love anyone outside of Christ Jesus. We are sin. Paul said in Romans 7 that in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Then in the next chapter he says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. It is because God's children have been clothed in Christ's righteousness that God can love them. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8-9, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Because of God's own purpose and grace, he chose to love a people in Christ before the world began." Many people today claim that God loves everyone without exception, but that he will allow those he loves to go to hell simply because they do not accept Christ as their personal Savior. Those who profess such an erroneous doctrine don't know much about hell and certainly are lacking in understanding about God's love. Hell is a place of eternal separation from God, and not just separation, but endless eternal torment. The belief that God would allow those he loves with an everlasting love to experience eternal separation from him and everlasting torment in darkness and fire is contrary to everything the Bible says about God. The Bible tells us that God is light, and between light and darkness there can be no fellowships. God's love is holy love. And because it is such, God hates all evil. Yea, it is written in Psalms 5:5, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Not just iniquity, but all workers of iniquity. Now, in Jeremiah 23:29, God asked, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" God's word burns and it breaks the stony heart into pieces. If preachers today were all preaching the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you would not believe the effect it would have on this country, on our country today. In the next two verses, here's what God says: "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." You know, religion teaches man to love himself. Religion makes people blind. Christ makes people see. God's children don't need religion. They have the Bible. God's children don't need covenants or articles of faith. They have the Bible. The Bible exalts God. Religion exalts man. I exhort you today to pay attention to the doctrines of your church. Do they exalt God or man? Compare them to what the Bible says. Are you hearing the truth that sets you free, or are you being burdened with religion that causes you to doubt and gives you no peace? There is no peace in religion, but there is peace in Jesus Christ.